I love Jesus. I love that he's so kind to you, because you can see the radiance on everybody's face. And you know, it's amazing. We walk through all kinds of things, but joy is never removed. That's the incredible heart of the Father. I've lost three dads in the last like 6 months, spiritual dads, and in one way or another. And it's just been a very interesting scenario. I remember that when one of those went home to be with the Lord, it was the second one. I was like, wow, because over the past 4 or 5 years, I've lost probably five of them. And some of you are going, how many dads do you have? It's like, I have learned that the value of the generations that have gone on before us, if we'll receive them as fathers and let them speak into our lives, we'll have wisdom. And there's idiots out there who don't believe in spiritual fathers. I don't mind. I did call them idiots. I did. Because I can't figure out how on earth we ever expect to get anywhere if we can't hear and listen and be corrected and adjusted. And that's just a part of walking with God. And so I'm very grateful for all of them in my life. But I remember that this year, the Lord spoke to me, says, the sons are becoming fathers. And that's scary. That's really scary. Because there's a whole lot of things that if we leave them unsaid and undone, we will be responsible for a generation. And if we leave certain things without speaking to them, we leave that to a generation too. And that's not healthy either. And I've heard, probably in the last year, I probably heard more heresies in the body of Christ than in my entire Christian walk combined. And that are like, really? You really believe that? You know? Let me just make it clear where I am. I love this book. I don't worship this book. I worship the God of this book. But I believe this is the Word of God. I like it from cover to cover. I like the concordance. I even like the gold edging. And when people try to modernize Christianity by removing the foundations and the absolutes that are, this is right and this is wrong, and when we become, well, if this is happening, it's okay, and if this is happening, it's okay, you remove the very foundation of what it is we believe. When you put on the Word, this is not my message, but when you put on the Word things that it doesn't say, and you release a message that is found in there, words that are said in there, you know, Ephesians, we used this for years in the salvation message, for by grace you're saved through faith, and that's not of yourself. It's a gift of God, not that anyone should boast. And we've used that verse, but then we changed the whole terminology of what grace is. And you realize, oh, grace doesn't mean God removes things from your life. It just means that God lets you to be whoever you are, and you're cool. I go, no, that's not grace. The grace I know frees. The grace I know delivers. The grace I know sets me on a journey that's amazing. And I love grace, and I've needed grace. You know, singing a song that had sorry in it today, I was like, I don't think I've heard a song anywhere with sorry in it in so long. You know, it's like, yeah, I'm sorry. I get sorry a whole lot. I'm sorry. I mean, I can be pretty sorry sometimes, you know. And there's something about that thing of repentance. You know, it's the ongoing. We were saved, but we get saved, and we continue to be saved. And so, at every juncture, that we get to see the salvation, the beauty of His grace on us, cleansing us from all unrighteousness. It's incredible. One of my favorite passages out of 1 John is the part we don't quote. You know, it says that when we confess our sins to Him, He forgives us. There's a verse before that. It's actually something that I think God's doing in His body right now. It says, if we walk in the light, as He is in the light, that's pretty high standards. You know, God hides nothing of His light from us. You can't hide His light. It's too bright. And when we walk in the light, when we walk in the transparency, as He is in the light, we have fellowship with one another. This keeps us pretty real. I got issues. We have issues in the room. We have a couple issued people. You just need to touch Jesus, you know. Anybody who touched Jesus lost their issue. Some of you got that. But if we walk in the light as He is in the light, we have fellowship with one another. And you ready? This is before you confess anything. Before you confess your sins to God. And the blood of Jesus Christ cleanses us from all sin. But the cleansing comes before we ever tell Him, when we walk in transparency and honesty with each other, because we are the body of Christ. That when we walk in the light and the transparency and the honesty with each other, He says, don't you understand that in this is where the forgiveness comes. And it's awesome. It keeps us out of that private Christian mode. Like, I'm just going to go to God with this. And hide it for another 30 years. But as soon as you expose it, it dies. It's crucified with Him on that cross. It's very cool. Anyways, that was just kind of a side thing. Was I here in February? I'm glad it was February, because if it was February, I know exactly what happened. In February was one of the most amazing months for me. This past year. And I want to share something with you guys. I've touched on a couple of these things through the weekend a little bit. And we've been talking about the Holy Spirit. And it's kind of funny, you know, when you talk about the Holy Spirit, you sure hope He shows up. Because if He doesn't show up, it's like, Lord, that was a serious fail. Like, we talked about You and You didn't come. But I'm not worried about that. I know He's already here. And there are things He's already shown me that He's going to do. There was a huge angel here this morning. Huge, big guy right here. And I was like, whoa. He said, I said, what are you here for? He says, it's a commissioning day. He says, I'm going to impart power. I said, come on. That's cool. Now, let me tell you what that means. The angel's not going to impart power. The Lord's going to impart power. In John 1, we read about, it says that there's somebody coming, speaking of John, and he's going to move in the power of the Holy Spirit. Very interesting thing about John. I remember as a young pastor, I was probably 24 years old, and I remember preaching this great message because I'd read this one little verse. And don't ever make the mistake of reading one verse to preach from. You get really messed up, particularly if you don't know the word. And very well. And so I remember preaching that, you know, there was no greater one than John. Now, in our minds, we go, whoa, no one greater than John. And you begin thinking Elijah and Elisha and Moses and everybody, no one greater than John. So in my natural mind, I go, he must have had lots of signs and wonders. I preached an entire message on who this John was. And after one wise person came up to me and says, have you read this verse? And it says, yet he had no signs and wonders. I went, wow, just epic fail. I thought I was anointed, you know. I was like, well, wasn't anointing on that. It was not true. You know, I guess a lot of emotion on that or something. But speaks of John, and it says that he's going to move in the power of the Spirit. So the power of the Spirit must be a little different than signs and wonders. Speaks of Jesus that when he leaves, he says, he left Galilee, and it says, and he moved out in the power of the Holy Spirit. That there was something that happened with Jesus where he moved in the power of the Holy Spirit. The power of the Holy Spirit is, it's a step up from what we think it is. We think if healings are occurring, if miracles are occurring, if all these things are happening, that's the power of the Holy Spirit. No, that is a significant release of what will occur in people's lives as a result of the evidence of the power of the Holy Spirit. That people get saved, but it's not the salvation that's the power. It was the power that was the power. And he moved in that. That's why many times we become very confused in our world. We have a lot of people who are sign chasers. I'm not a sign chaser, you know. To me, it's the same thing as going and sitting out at, you know, you have a weird road here. You know, what's it called? Something to locks? Evans to locks. What a weird name. I've never been anywhere. I've been to the road in Alaska that says end of the road. I've been there. I'm serious. I've been there. I'm like, well, that's an interesting name. It's like, oh no, I'm sorry. End of the world road. That's what it is. End of the world road. It's like, here we are. We're at the end of the world. And it literally goes into the ocean. That's it. But that's a weird name. But you know, one of the funny things is that people are enamored with signs. I want you to just think about a sign, a road post. Everybody just kind of going, sitting around and going, wow. Wow, this is awesome. Look, it points that way. And I'm not going the right way if I'm going this way. And people live that way. And they base their Christian walk upon what the signs are. Jesus would say, even to the Pharisees, he says, listen, you know the signs of the time. You know what the signs are. Who gives a rip? You're missing the very thing that's in front of you. You're missing what it is. That is, if you knew who was speaking to you, you would ask. If you knew who I really was, you knew that the instrument that you all predicated, the only thing, and you said, here. I said in the meeting, it's not going to be like, it's grabbing out because hold on then. You need to be who it is that is doing. We're going through real challenges to health and things. We were not there. Any of you has been ever see at the base? You need every mental. Is every mental? Something over and I go, I am. Yeah, I don't wait a long time because I am not. You know, it's like God speaks. So you have this reminder of what you. It's like the old cat. I want to do this. Now, it comes when he is a great pumping. And he said, one day, the Lord wants to invest. Not from heaven, generally, at this point. Time to get back with all. So, here's the thing. You read people, you know, before you let in, if you yourself, it's excited about the frame of the and you probably don't change. You got guys out. He's in the book. Amazing how it go, understand, my mouth, not Jesus. Niles. He's a big old angel to wipe out a whole lot of God's enemies. And who has been appointed to the body of Christ to take care of us and protect us. Literally. Read the book. That's who Michael was. He's also the one who broke through. Did I share this one time? Did I mess everybody's theology up? Wow. I wasn't going to go here, but it's okay. I'll go. Michael, we have this meeting in New England, and the Spirit of God came in incredible power. People, we have like mosh pits up front. That's kind of what it looks like in our meetings. And I'm working on it. Worship team, get ready. I want next time you come, we're going to have a mosh pit up front. But everybody's just worshiping and having a good time. All of a sudden, in the middle of it, there is a line. People fell backwards. People fell forwards. Supernatural. Nobody touched anybody. It was like, whoa. And my friend looked at me and he goes, there's an archangel here. It's the first time I ever saw him. And I said, who? And the Lord took me to Daniel 10 right away. And my eyes landed. And I saw Michael. And then Michael came. And when he showed up, as soon as I recognized it, incidentally, this is how it works in the Spirit. When you acknowledge, when you recognize, you will see. Can I say that again? See, most of us function by natural eyes. We want to see and then we'll say. And God says, no, I want you to know I'm here, recognize my presence, speak it out, and I'll show you more. And I'll show you more. And I've become very aware of the supernatural in that realm. I'm not going after the supernatural this morning. I don't want to go there. But in this particular case, it was very interesting. He said to me, who is Michael breaking through for? In the Bible. And it messed with me. It messed with me to the point that I said, I will never preach this message ever again. Or ever. I hadn't preached it yet. And he said, you will. I said, why? He said, it's truth. I said, everybody's going to think I'm a heretic. And he said, it's truth. He said, who was he breaking through for? I said, a lesser angel. And the Lord said, really? I hate it when the Lord says, really. Because it's like, I must be really wrong. I go, look. And I see this being who has these burnished bronze legs, and who, when he speaks, it sounds like the voice of many waters. And I'm going, this is like Revelation 1 guy. This is the Revelation 1 guy. Michael was breaking through for the Revelation 1 guy. That's Jesus. Now, I've learned to take paths and journeys. I've learned that when he says something and I kind of get confused, I'm the one confused. He's not. I'm like, man, this is messing with me a little bit, Lord. What do you want me to do with this? You mean he was breaking through for Jesus? You mean he couldn't break through? Jesus couldn't break through? And he went through this whole theology I'm not going to go into this morning, but he said, when was the lamb slain? Scripture tells us before the foundation of the world. He said, when do you think Jesus laid aside his omnipresence, his omnipotence, his omniscience? When do you think he laid everything aside? I said, well, I assumed it was when he was born. He said, when was the lamb slain? When did God decide that he would limit himself, Philippians chapter 2, and take the form of a bondservant? Oh, God, no. He said, what about when the angel of the Lord, who was the pre-incarnate Jesus, wrestled with Jacob, and he could not overpower Jacob? Whoa. That he limited himself to weakness. And he said, Michael had to break through for the revelator. Incidentally, all revelation comes from Jesus. I'll say that again. The revelator is Jesus. When you receive true revelation, it's Jesus is there. That's why it says in Revelation, it says the testimony of Jesus is the spirit of prophecy or revelation. That it's when Jesus is speaking, you're hearing Jesus. This is not just a mood and something that's happened in the atmosphere that Holy Spirit speaks. This is Jesus himself has stepped into the picture. He says, let me speak this to you. That's why when he looked at Peter and he says, who are you? You're him. He said, flesh and blood didn't give this to you, man. That came from Papa's mouth. You received revelation. You experienced revelation. And so as I saw this with Daniel and all this stuff, it was just an amazing understanding of revelation. So sometimes God gives us revelation, but he doesn't give us the end from the beginning. Anybody get frustrated that you're sitting on words that maybe you've had for 20 or 30 years? And it's like, when? Anybody? I am. I've seen many things fulfilled. And because we're a microwave society, we want everything fulfilled now. It's like God prophesied. We're looking for the answer to a prophetic word this week. And the next time we see that prophetic person, well, yeah, it didn't happen. I've been waiting a year now. Remember what you said? Yeah, it didn't. No, it doesn't happen. You said I'd be called to the nations? Yeah. I'm still working my job. But then I began understanding something about where it says the Lord is not slow. He's intense, but he's not slow. And he begins revealing things. And so there are things that now I'm beginning to see, some things that literally they're 25 years old in my history. Words that were spoken. Things I heard, things I saw. There are things that happened 7 and 10 years ago that I'm beginning to see just a little bit of it. When I had that visitation with Jesus in 1990, January 1990, I would have no revelation on what it meant. I spent probably 25 to 30 minutes with Jesus. And during that period of time, he spoke things to me, read from my Bible. It would take 17 years for the first glimpse of what he was saying. So the things you've received, he wants to give to you. So that's the reason I wanted to share all that, because there's something that happens when God begins speaking. Well, in 2007, I had a dream. Did we turn to Colossians chapter 3? I just have to read this. Because this morning, this is really important. Chapter 3, verse 2. I want you to change where you're thinking from. What place, what position you're at right now. Ready? I want you to set your mind on things above. Not on the things that are on this earth. So I want you to ignore the natural response to some of the things I'm about to share. And begin to, because there's something the Holy Spirit wants to do this morning in releasing you into a realm that I believe you'll begin to understand that your life, the call, the destiny, the things he's spoken, makes absolute sense. That you're not in a place where you're failing in your Christianity because you have not seen some things that God has promised you. Hebrews 11, so clear. I've been speaking about this all week. Hebrews 11, it is not your success in the fulfillment of a vision that God is looking for. God has never looked for you to be successful in your vision. He's looked to you simply to believe him. They were commended for their faith, not because it happened, but because they believed. Did you catch that? All right. Some of you should have that because I've said it to you 3 or 4 times. And you should understand. Because see, that is the greatest weapon against faith, is when you believe, I have to see this in order for my faith to be legitimate. I want to bring you back to that place of, I believe him. I believe him. First things God began showing me was when I was five. Five. I met Jesus at five. There are things that happened in my teen years that the Lord would show me. Things that would happen through my 20s, through my 30s, through my 40s, through my 50s, that he'd show me. I believe him. I've learned to become a believer. I'm the only guy who's ever attempted to completely derail. What do they call that when you remember something you weren't there, whatever they, what do they call it? Deja vu. I'm the only one I know that's ever tried to dismantle deja vu. You know why? Because I want to tell you what deja, I never have deja vu. I used to. But I began understanding, you know what deja vu is? Deja vu is the reality of a person that has been showing something by God and they don't believe it. And so when they say, oh, I was like, he showed you this before. Did you believe him then? Did you believe him when he showed you? When you had that thought that came, did you say, I'm going to see this one day. I'm going to meet this person one day. I'm going to be in this situation one day. And it changes everything. You go, I don't have deja vu anymore. Literally, I do not have deja vu. But I get to places and I walk up to people and go, I've met you before. What? Yeah, I saw you. This is what's going on in your life. This is what's happening. And I begin to explain to them what it was I saw rather than just kind of walking through and going, whoa, what is here? It is important that we as believers are in fact believers. It's the greatest work God has to do in the church today. And in the South, he's got a huge job. Because everybody that is a Christian proclaims they're a believer, but they don't understand that you actually have to believe God, and those who believe God obey God. They follow God. It's not enough to say, I believe. The demons do. So in February, the Lord showed something that came all the way from about 2007. I'm going to make this really quick, but I had a dream. And in that dream, John Wimber, who was my pastor for many years, and I was a part of the vineyard in the early 80s during what they called the glory years. And John had a number of visions that the Lord kind of handed and said, this is part of your destiny. But John spoke some things in this dream. It was very interesting in this dream because they were having a meeting in a room very similar to this. Truthfully, it was, except they had hardwood floors and it was a light colored thing, but lots of windows just like this. And, I'm in this dream and I see all these original, about 500 people in this meeting. And I recognize them all as the early guys in the vineyard. And in those days, we believed we were going to change the world. We really did. There was something very supernatural. I've told people kind of look at me, are you sure? I go, absolutely sure. What I'm about to say, I'm not going to relent from. But I, to this day, have never seen anyone who has functioned at the level of authority and power that John Wimber operated in. No one. And you can put your who's who list up there and say, well, they do. It's like, no, I've watched people be pinned to the ground, bang their heads on the floor and say, what he's saying is right. What he's saying is true. What he's saying is right. What he's saying is true. I've watched them approach him and the presence of God was so strong in him. I've watched their bodies just become stiff and they cannot utter a word. I've watched it. I've seen it. Real, 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 legitimate. Like there is something on the guy. That was, and I haven't seen that ever since. And so he, basically in this meeting, they said, well, the Lord sent John back to speak to the vineyard because they got stuck. I thought, cool. I'm in this dream. All of a sudden, John's there. He's speaking about the kingdom of God, which was his main message. It was awesome. He was funny. He was just exactly like John was. And if anybody's never watched John Wimber, you need to go YouTube him. And he was funny. He was awesome. He was a great speaker, incredible communicator. And the Spirit of God just used him powerfully. At the end of that, he calls me up. I won't go into that part. I don't need to. And has me do something. But then he turns and he says, "Where's your team?" And he turns to my team, prophesies over five of them that I would give them those words from those dreams. All five of them were wrecked when I gave them those dreams those words from him in the middle of a dream. But then he said, he turns to walk towards a piano, and he's a great, incredible keyboard player, piano. He was the founding member of the Righteous Brothers, and he just turns to me. He goes, "Just remember 97123. I was like, he didn't give me the whole phone number. I need the whole phone number. What's the whole phone number? What's the rest of the phone number? I've been hunting. Where's the phone number? So everywhere I go, I dial, see if something might pop up in one of my contacts when you start dialing in and somebody's name might come up. It's nothing. I'm like, "Lord, what is this?" And see, God has been speaking to me for a long time about something called Pleroma. And the last time I was here, we talked about the fullness of time. We talked about the redefining of the church, and that actually the word Pleroma itself means it's a ship. Remember that. And that it's a ship ready. It's loaded with all of its resources. It's got all the sailors. It's got everything's well done. It's all together. That Ephesians 4:11, where it says that he's called some to be apostles, prophets, and all that. He says for the ready mending of the nets. That's actually the literal translation of that passage where we say equipping the saints. He was like mending the nets. It was all about a boat. It was all about getting the ship ready. And so when you use the word pleroma, which is the fullness of time, that there was a fullness of time when Jesus came, but there's yet another fullness of time that is coming when it says that we will all be together, where we're going to function together as one body. When God is doing something so dramatic in the body of Christ, that as this fullness of time comes, we're going to move in greater authority and greater power than we've ever moved in. It's phenomenal. So the Lord speaks to me and I'm like, "Lord, when? And through the years, I'll say, "It's time." And I'd prophesy, "It's time." And I say, "It's time now, Lord, now." But I think most of that was just the yearning of the Lord. "Lord, it's time. You want to do something. You want to release something." And in February, I was doing a conference. And incidentally, Bob Jones always would say, he says the most knowledgeable is Acts 3:21. Acts 3:21 says this. The restoration of all things. He said the most important thing God is doing in the earth is the restoration of all things. Going back to the whole thing with Daniel, you ready for here? There is coming a day where the restoration is not just a restoration with us. But it's the restoration of all things. It's where what he relinquished and gave down at the foundation of the earth is restored to him. Whoa. It's why we do this for the sake of the Lamb. It's why our life is not our own. It's not about beautifying and making our lives better. It's about the fact that the Lamb deserves the reward for his suffering. And the reward for his suffering is the restoration of all things. That we become restored. That our relationships we work on, we develop, we have oneness. Because that was his desire. That's part of the reward that he receives. But not only that, all the fullness, the glory, the power, which incidentally has not yet occurred with Jesus. Because at that moment it says, and he will return. And that's when he has written on his thigh, King of Kings and Lord of Lords, that at the restoration of all things, there is this massive, whoa! Our God is God. He's God of the whole earth. Every knee will bow. Every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. And so the restoration of all things is so cool. So I'm in this little meeting in Massachusetts, and the guy in front of me turns around and he's weeping. He said, I have to wash your feet. He said, I picked up an offense 5 years ago when you moved to Connecticut. I'm supposed to be working with you. I'm supposed to be helping you. But I've been against you. And I went, wow. I like this. I wasn't about him. I knew that. I knew he was supposed to be. And I kept inviting him with a smile. I love the guy. He washes my feet. After he washes my feet, the Lord says, you know that woman in Coeur d'Alene who hurt you powerfully in front of everybody? You know where she came against you and you haven't communicated with her for about 10 years. She has something you need. And you have something she needs. You have to call her. That afternoon, I go home in between the sessions. And I'm watching this little meeting happening in Orlando, Florida, called The Send. Anybody see The Send? Everything inside of me is like, man, I want to go there. Just because of what was happening. Just felt the Lord all over it. As the days going on, they said, if you will give your life to missions, I want you to text the word mission to 97123. If you'll commit your life to give it to lost in the school systems, text school to 97123. And every single thing they had people texting to say, I'm giving here, I'm going here, was that number that John Wimber had given to me in a dream in 2007, 12 years ago. I said, Lord, what is he? He said, Danny, it's time. It's time. You have entered the time where I am going to manifest myself through my body like you've never known. And the biggest part of it at the beginning you're going to see is restoration. You're going to see the washing of the feet. You're going to see people calling people they've been enemies with, that they know they were right. Let me tell you something about being right. Being right has nothing to do with the kingdom of God. Right is not righteous. Right is not righteous. Right is not righteous. Humility is righteous. Humility is righteous. Brokenness is righteous. Understanding the heart of God, regardless of what you went through, what kind of hell you went through, understanding the heart of God is righteous. Not your desire to be honored, exonerated, or anything else. Ha. The restoration of all things. And the Lord began just showing thing after thing after thing in the past 6 months, actually the past 3 months now. The Lord has been crazy. I've been getting texts and phone calls from people that are just like, what is going on? One guy, I read it to Joe this morning, and this guy is a prophet to prophets. He's not a known. His assignments are the prophets. And I knew when he contacted me, I went, whoa, this is kind of serious. What's he going? And he begins challenging the words I was having. He said, you're acting as if Jesus has given you authority directly. God wants you to go to him and ask what it was that he really wanted you to say, and then you need to remedy it. And all the blood rushed out of my body. I went, man, this is real. And I went to the Lord. You know, one of the things I've learned, I hope the body of Christ catches this one thing off of me. If there's one thing you got to catch off of me, I hope it's this. Bob Jones once told me, he says, son, you're too busy. You know, you need to dial back and you need to not go every place. You know, you can't do this. You're going to burn out. You ready? You know what I did? Bob Jones is not my Lord. Jesus is. And I went to Jesus. I said, Jesus, Bob said this. What do I do? He said, I only want you to go to everyone who asks, like I did. I said, great. I said, Bob, guess what the Lord told me? I get to go to everyone who asks. That he'd figure out my schedule. I've not stopped doing that. But here's the answer. You ready? Inquire of the Lord. Inquire of the Lord. We want to stop this incredible, huge wave of orphans in the body of Christ. I had to do this in New England. When we first went to New England, Armin will tell you, he showed up one night with a couple Russians, I think. Was that right? Something like that. Whatever. But within weeks, we had like 40 Russians. And all the Russians wanted was prophetic words. That's all they wanted. And so every Tuesday night, man, I'm there like prophesying every... And they're like, do you have a word for me? Do you know whatever? And they just kept on just pulling. And the Lord always gave. The Lord will always give. When you have a well, God will always give. It's beautiful. It's wonderful. And I'm not against that. But I was against it when I realized and recognized, man, people are just wanting words. And so one day I just said, yeah, we're not doing that anymore. And they kind of looked at me like, what? It's the reason we come. I said, I do not want to develop in you an orphan spirit. You don't need me to hear God. He is your father. You have to hear God. The responsibility to hear from God is, it's not God who's basically saying, listen, I want you to hear from me, so I'm going to give you a prophetic word every day. Seek me. If you seek me, you'll find me. If you search with your whole heart. Ha! I'm not saying I still minister to people. It's not about that. But it was something where we have to raise the body as mature people who can hear from God. I don't need any more words. My plate's full. I have a whole library of words. I'm not looking for the word. But if I'm headed in a direction and the Lord recognizes I'm either off course or I need something to help me continue in my searching of Him, I love it when somebody says, I saw this. I was like, cool, that really helps. But it's not by seeking the words. It's by seeking Him. You don't seek signs. You don't seek words. You seek Him. And as a result, you become a son, a daughter. That's who He's raising up in the earth today. Ones that can hear His voice. Ones when others come and they say, yeah, this is what's happening. You go, I already know. I'm already sure of that. I know what He's doing. I don't watch news. Not because it's fake news. I had to put that out. But I don't watch news because I don't want my source to be an earthly source. I want to set my mind on things above, not on things of this earth. It's so different when you begin hearing God. Man, you can become so depressed by listening to the news. Oh my gosh. The first part of this year, I'm going to close with this. We're just going to invite the Holy Spirit to show up. But at the first part of this year, the Lord told me, and He'd give me a number of words. You know, it's really funny when you hear things. Your prayer was very interesting. Not bad. But when you said, you know, we need to pray for people, whether we voted for them or not. And I was thinking about a poor guy who got slaughtered because he made the mistake of trying to apologize for having our president in his meeting, and which is ridiculous. But do you know that before the last president we have, I won't mention any names here, the one who had two terms, do you know that a full year before he was elected, the Lord told me he would be elected? That I publicly stated it in Coeur d'Alene, Idaho, at a conference. That I had Bob mad at me. Why are you saying that? Because it's what he showed me. I had a dream. This is what he showed me. Listen, the only thing you are responsible for is dispensing what the Father shows you. And the same thing would happen with this current president. The Lord showed me. There are things he showed me. My responsibility is not, you know, I'm not of this earth. I'm an alien and a stranger. I know some of you already know that. You can see it. It's pretty obvious. My DNA is pretty crazy. But I'm an alien and a stranger as you are. And we have become so, we're trying to fix everything on earth. And God says, listen, forget about fixing everything on earth. The lost are lost. And according to scripture, they'll become more lost. That in the last days, there will be wickedness beyond anything you can imagine. That according to Isaiah 60, deep darkness, horrific, terrible darkness will cover the earth. And we become so concerned with the earth. And God says, why are you so concerned about something that is going to be destroyed that I have to create a new heavens and a new earth? What is your deal? And I know some people have different theology with that, but I'm just telling you basic Bible. This is pretty basic. It's pretty understandable. But what happens is we've developed this thing where I'm going to fix everything on the earth. And it's like, no, you want people on the earth to experience the life that they can have with God. You want them to meet Jesus. I have said for years, this is a true statement. In the Roman Empire and many other empires, they were legally allowed to kill their babies up to the age of 2. That's why Herod could pick the age 2 to have all the boys slaughtered. Guess what? Until Jesus comes back, the lost are going to kill their babies. I'm not for it. I think it's hideous. I can agree with what Scripture says. In the last times, it's going to be terrible. I don't have any problems believing that. But it is amazing to me how much energy the church has placed on trying to resolve an issue that God never commissioned them to do. When he said, go into all the world, preach the gospel to every creature. Those who believe are saved. That the gospel and the commission he gave us, in every place that Jesus declared it, in every place that the kingdom was proclaimed throughout all of history, during Nero's time, when believers were being killed left and right, when babies were being thrown to the lions. Their heart was, we got to reach the world. We got to go reach the world. We got to release. We got to be filled with the Spirit. We need to move out in the power of the Lord. It wasn't about trying to fix everything around us so that we live in a nice culture where people are just nice to each other. Niceness is the worst religious spirit there is. People are totally confused by the niceness. They think they're believers. I can tell you there are Mormon nicer people than Christians. There are Muslim nicer than Christians. There are Hindus nicer than Christians. There are Buddhists nicer than Christians. It's not about being nice. It's about having Jesus. You've got to have Jesus. People have got to have Jesus. If there's one thing I want to let you know today, if there's one thing that has to happen, is the church better wake up. This is not about cleaning up our environment. It's not about cleaning up society. It's about meeting people with Jesus, and that the fullness of the Spirit took you to have nice glory meetings and go, woo! So that you would become filled with the power of God. That you become bold as lions, because you might have to face some. That you begin declaring what is truth. Jesus died for you. He is the resource. He is the way. The singular. The way. He is the singular. The truth. He is the singular life. Nothing else really matters. I know Jesus. I met him when I was 5. I was lost. Oh, what? I was lost. At 5, I was lost. I was lost. I was going to hell in a handbasket. And yes, I do believe in heaven and hell. I really do. I was lost. I had to meet Jesus. I met him. I met him. My life has never been the same. How can you say it was different when you were before you got saved at 5? How can you say that? I know. Because I know. I know the darkness of sin. I know the darkness of what can wreck a person's life. I've seen it in so many other lives as well. And I go, Jesus, I'm so grateful. I'm so grateful that I missed the stupid rebellious years that so many people went through. I'm so grateful that you preserved me from that idiocy of falling into traps and sins. And I'm so grateful that I don't have a better testimony. I'm grateful. I'm grateful. I'm grateful. I'm grateful I didn't do everything that everybody did. I've done my fair share. But I'm grateful. Because there's salvation found in no other. No other. Not any political system. Not any governmental. I guess it's the same thing. Not educational. Not anything. And we in the church, we've gotten so busy with all kinds of intricate, like, oh, you need to be focused here. You need to be focused here. You need to be focused here. I'm focused on one thing. To know Christ and to make him known. I'm focused on one thing, that if he's lifted up, he'll draw all men to himself. I'm focused on the fact that I can't remedy legislative issues. I'm not saying some of you are called to that. I understand that. And those are my prayers, that you will proclaim Christ and him crucified. The only answer for any nation is Jesus. It's not how nice we can make it. We can pray for peace because the scriptures teach us. It says you don't want war. Because it's difficult for the gospel to go. So we pray peace. Lord, let there be peace so that we can continue to pray and release the gospel. Wow. So Donnie, we're going to invite Holy Spirit right now. I felt like the Lord says he was commissioning earlier. I told you that we're going over the waterfall. Those are true statements. And we're going to commission, but we're going to commission you, ready? In the same way Jesus commissioned you. to the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. Some of you have become intercessors. Today, you're going to lose a little bit of your intercession priority and understand he's called me to the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. Some of you who are prophetic, you're going to begin to understand, no, that's subservient to the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. Some of you who are musicians, you're going to understand that's subservient. Keith Green made this statement. He said, if I could use a different tool to reach more people, I would use it. He says, I'm using my piano because it's the only tool I know how to be able to reach people. But he said, if I could find a better tool, I'd use it. And the reality is we have to take our giftings and stop honoring our giftings and start honoring the King and understanding that we've been called to release something to this earth. And that whatever you've got, he wants to use. He wants your neighborhoods to know Jesus. Poor neighborhoods, rich neighborhoods. I often say this, how many of you know your neighbors? Really know your neighbors? When was the last time you took a neighbor out for dinner? I promise you, God will provide for that. God will provide. You say, I don't have enough money to do that. God will provide for that. Go find a neighbor. Say, hey, we just want to get to know you. We'd like to go out to eat. Can we take you somewhere? What? Love them. Love them in Jesus' name. Become those people that everybody in the whole neighborhood knows these people. It's like they know the whole neighborhood and they love Jesus. There's something about they love Jesus and they love us. We feel safe with them. We go to their house first if there was a problem because we know they're carrying something that's otherworldly. Hey, I'm going to let you do your thing. You want to do your thing?
I think it's important that we give you guys an opportunity to sow into Danny's ministry, help cover his expense and things that they need. Gas is not free. Hotels are not free. So we're going to just ask the man if they will grab the baskets and if you will sow into his ministry. And then I'm going to turn it back over to Danny to close out. But if you're writing a check, just make it to Life Ministries, and we will get all that together and give that to him.